Today, my dear faithful, is Passion Sunday, and the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many centuries ago, my dear faithful, there came a day, like many others, that St. Patrick was traveling to another town in Ireland to preach the word of God and to seek out more souls to be saved. St. Patrick had been working for the conversion of the Irish for years by this time. His slavery amongst the Irish marauders was far in the past, but his love for God and the souls of Ireland burned fiercely in his heart, even after all these many years. Many of the Irish, pagans for centuries, had no love for this new bishop just yet. But time and time again, the dedication, the learning, and persevering charity of this foreigner touched many hearts. The many miracles God worked at his prayers also did help. However, there was a substantial faction that hated the saint through it all, led by Logair, the High King of Ireland himself. Logair was convinced by his pagan priest that he would lose his kingdom if St. Patrick was allowed to convert his people from their pagan faith. And yet, he repeatedly heard of Patrick's successes. Again and again, there was news of this king converting, then that tribe, then a whole town. Stories of miracles and wonders worked at the prayers of the saint became common. At every new report, the high king grew more and more fearful of the apostle of Ireland, and with his fear, a hatred festered as well. Then came the most fearful news of all, for St. Patrick was on his way to the Hill of Tara, the heart of Ireland, where Logair himself reigned from. The apostle wished to ask the high king for permission to preach in Ireland, but Logair trembled in fear to meet St. Patrick face to face. Would Patrick overthrow him right then and there? Would Logair be cast down by this foreigner? Would the high king of Ireland be conquered by a former slave? Logair refused to let this happen. And so, to put a stop to it, he sent soldiers to lay an ambush for the saint and his company of religious. He would crush the head of this snake, as he thought of them, once and for all. And so it came to pass that St. Patrick was walking through the fields of Ireland, when suddenly he was forewarned that men waited on the road ahead to take his life. Immediately the saint began to pray aloud, like a warrior preparing for battle, calling upon the Trinity to be with him in the danger to come, like an armor. I bind to myself the strong power of the Trinity, the faith of the Trinity in the unity, the creator of the elements. Patrick then called upon Christ in his birth, his death, and his resurrection to be his safeguard. From this beginning of his prayer, the saint recited what is now called his Lorica, or the breastplate of St. Patrick. Ani continued praying, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks to me, Christ in the eye of every man that sees me, Christ in the ear of every man that hears me. Amidst these prayers, St. Patrick and his followers arrived at the place of the ambush, but the soldiers did not see him. They saw nothing of Patrick or any of his followers. Instead, they saw a deer calmly strolling by. With God Almighty's protection through this, the bishop eventually arrived before the high king, and he eventually convinced and received the permission to preach the faith throughout the nation. From that day, the conversion of the entire nation of Ireland began in full force. Maybe this is something of the way that our Lord hid himself in today's gospel. For some time, our Savior had been teaching throughout Ireland, and a great crowd gathered around him wherever he went. No longer were the Pharisees the center of learning and authority, for Jesus Christ revealed so many beautiful, lofty teachings that comforted the heart and strengthened the will. Instead, these supposedly learned men were left dumb in this man's presence, and they made fools of themselves when they tried to outsmart him. And now in today's gospel, after rebuking them repeatedly, the Messiah reveals his own divinity. You see, when Christ said, "Before Abraham was made, I am," those words, "I am," he actually used the holy name of God, which in English does mean, "I am." The Pharisees were so enraged that our Lord, who claimed to be divine, that they took up stones, therefore, to cast at him. Can you imagine that? They were going to murder someone in cold blood right there in the temple, the holiest place in the entire world in the Jewish religion. But the time of our Savior's passion had not yet come. Thus, as St. John tells us, Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The might of God, my dear faithful, is truly awe-inspiring, both in this gospel passage and as well in that story of St. Patrick. When he wishes, none can even see his chosen. However, such is the hubris of mankind, that they arrogantly turn against God Almighty and refuse to submit to him. From the Pharisees to High King Lothgar, and throughout mankind's history, the pride of man revolts against their God. And yet, behold the mercy of the infinite God. When the Pharisees gnash and bark like wild dogs in the face of the God-man himself, right in his own temple where his people have worshipped him for centuries. And why? Because their God revealed himself to them. That he is God, come down to live amongst them, to teach, guide, and comfort them, to die and redeem their souls. What is the answer he receives? They take up stones to cast at him, to murder him. But what was our Lord's answer? He did not call down a multitude of angels, nor strike down his attackers by his own infinite might. No, he hid himself. He wanted no harm to come to these poor, foolish creatures. He will soon shed his precious blood for these very same souls. They sought to give him false justice, and he gave them only mercy. St. Patrick followed in the footsteps of the Messiah. Even though he knew King Lothgar sought his life, still he traveled directly to the king, putting his trust in God Almighty. Instead of praying for the destruction of his enemies, Patrick begged God that Christ be in the heart of every man who thinks of him. Like the Messiah himself, the Apostle of Ireland sought conversion, not destruction. And God Almighty willingly answered his prayer. The patient, meek, former slave did throw down the pride of a king that day, and an entire nation was won to God through that triumph of mercy and meekness. Let us too, my dear faithful, especially these 2 weeks of Holy Week, of Passiontide and Holy Week, let us learn the meekness of our Lord and his servant, St. Patrick. When anger wells up inside you, refuse to act. Pray for strength and hold yourself steady. Then do the opposite of what anger tells you to do. Act like our Lord and St. Patrick. Against the feelings, by showing kindness, instead of seeking vengeance. How can we think of anger, of getting our way and punishing those who do not give it to us, when we behold the God-man laid low for the offenses we committed against him? Our pride, our sins, our betrayal to God hung him upon a cross. Who are we to ask the account of anyone when we have been given such mercy? To help you strive for this mercy, I would encourage you again to come to the Holy Week ceremonies, if possible to you. Accompany our Lord and our Blessed Lady. Share in their glories. Commiserate with their sorrows. Through it all, offer your love by their side. If you are not able to come to the ceremonies, at least do something to set these days apart, most especially Good Friday. Let that, above all, be a day of quiet, of prayer, and of sorrow. For this God gave everything for you, and so too did his mother. And through it all, let us follow in the footsteps of Christ, both in reliving his passion and in imitating his patient, meek, gentle love for our fellow man. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.